I wanted to first thank you for giving me this opportunity to share this with you. It's been an interesting study for me, and I hope I can pass on some of the thoughts to you for your consideration and for your growth. The title of the talk is going to be One Another.
What does this mean, one another?
Does it mean you follow one another? Or does it mean you go along with one another, follow their lead? It really can mean any of these things. But today, we're going to look at it from the perspective of what you should do one for another.
Not only what you should do,
but what you can and must do for one another to be considered one of God's children. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love one for one another. This is a familiar scripture to all of us, and one we do use in our memorial service each year, and one I'm sure you keep in the back of your mind at all times. This new commandment is given to us in John 13, 34 and 35, and we're going to use that for our text scripture today. I want to read it again, but I want to read it from the New International Version. John 13, 34 and 35. It reads in the New International Version. A new commandment I give, love one another. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. All men will know that you are my disciples if you love one another. We have to spend some time today looking at what we can and should do for one another. In a few cases, we're going to even look at what you should not do for one another. And of course, we'll learn from this, because if you do the opposite of that, it will be what we should do. Let's examine another point in the 13th chapter of John. And also, this leads up to our text scripture. Let's turn to John 13, 1 through 12.
John 13, 1 through 12.
Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, when the devil had already put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands, and that he had come from God and was going to God, he rose from the supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with a towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, Lord, do you wash my feet? Jesus answered him, What I am doing you do not know now, but afterward you will understand. Peter said to him, You shall never wash my feet. But Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part in me. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. Jesus said to him, He who has faith does not need to wash except for his feet. But he is clean all over, and you are clean, but not all of you. For he knew who was to betray him. That was why he said, You are not all clean. When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, You know what I have done to you? And then verse 14 tells what we should do for one another. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. To me, Jesus gives us two valuable lessons here. First is a lesson of humility and service. It was the custom to have the servants wash the feet of the guests that entered their house. In that period of time, people often wore open sandals or sometimes nothing on their feet. And of course, they didn't have any paved roads or streets like we do now. So their feet became very dirty when they traveled. The reason Jesus washed their feet himself is explained in the 12th or 16th verses. Realizing we're going to repeat a couple of verses, I think they're very important to our lesson today. So in John 13, 12 through 16, when he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, You know what I have done to you? And he answered, You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. And then this is important. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. And then why did he do this? For I have given you an example, that you should also do as I have done to you. Truly, truly, I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. So here's the lesson in humility and service to the brethren, with our Lord Jesus setting the example. Here's the Lord and Master being a servant to his people. This is covered very well from the daily heavenly manna of May the 23rd. And you also ought to wash one another's feet, as we read in John 13:14. I quote from the manna. This would signify that the members of Christ's body should have a mutual watch care over one another's welfare, to keep each other clean, holy, pure, and to assist one another in overcoming the trials and temptations and besetments of this present evil world, arising from the three forces of temptation, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Only as we cultivate the various graces of the Spirit, which are meekness, patience, gentleness, brotherly kindness, love, then we hope to be specially helpful to others in putting on these adornments of character and purities of life, and to get rid of the defilements of the world and the flesh. This same thought is brought out in the 23rd chapter of Matthew in verses 5 through 7. There Jesus is speaking to the crowd and to his disciples. He tells them that the scribes and Pharisees do all their deeds to be seen by men for their honor and for their glory. And they preach, but they do not practice good things. Also, they like to be called rabbi. After that, Jesus admonishes his disciples and the multitude, as recorded in Matthew 23, 8 through 12. And we'll read Matthew 23, 8 through 12. But you are not to be called rabbi, for you have one teacher, and you are all brethren. And call no man your father on earth, for you have one Father who is in heaven. Neither be called masters, for you have one Master, the Christ. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Whoever exalts himself will be humbled, and whoever humbles himself will be exalted. And there is that message again. He who is greatest among you shall be your servant. Another lesson to be learned is that we must be clean all over. We must give our all, our will to God. We can't just give a part of ourselves. We must concentrate our entire being to God, beginning with the heart. We're going to look at a number of things we should do for one another, but probably the most important one is our text scripture. And we're going to read it once more, John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And then by this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. If we did not have love one for another, then we would not be able to sincerely do any good to one another, at least not from the heart, and in a way that would be acceptable to our Heavenly Father. There are a lot of scriptures that speak of love one for another, and we're going to examine some of them now. In 1 John 3, 19 to 24, it reminds us of this first commandment of God. 1 John 3:19-24. By this we shall know that we are of the truth, and we are sure of our hearts before him, whenever our hearts condemn us. Whenever our hearts condemn us, for God is greater than our hearts, and he knows everything. Beloved, if our hearts do not condemn us, we have confidence before God, and we receive from him whatever we ask, because we keep his commandments and do what he pleases. And this is his commandment, that you should believe in the name of his Son Jesus Christ, and love one another, just as he commanded you. And then in 1 John 4:7-12, it tells us how love is such a major factor in our relationship with God and with one another. 1 John 4:7-12. Beloved, let us love one another, for love is of God. And he who loves is begotten of God and knows God. He who does not love does not know God, for God is love. In this the love of God was made manifest among us, that God sent his only Son into this world, so that we might live through him. And this is love, not that we love God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be an expiation for our sins. Beloved, if God so loved us, we also ought to love one another. No man has ever seen God. If we love one another, God abides in us, and his love is perfected in us. How important is that last verse? That even though we cannot see God, He abides in us if we love one another. This is explained very well in the manna from Mark the 7th. And that's the text scripture that day is 1 John 4:12. If we love one another, God dwelleth in us, and his love is perfected in us. We quote from the manna. Whether I am something or nothing in God's estimation is to be measured by my love for him, for his brethren, for his cause, for the world in general, and even for my enemies, rather than by knowledge of our fame or oratory. In the measurement of character, therefore, we are to put love first and to consider it the chief test of our nearness and acceptance to the Lord. Those begotten of the Holy Spirit should all be good-tempered. In no way can we better show forth the praises of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light than by the exhibition of the spirit of love in the daily affairs of our lives. And once more, a reminder in 2 John 5. 2 John 5. And now I beg you, ladies, not as though I were writing to you a new commandment, but the one we have had from the beginning, that we love one another. And as it says in Galatians 5, 13 to 14, through love, be servants of one another. You should love your neighbor as yourself. So you can see if you are to be a true servant of one another. It must be done through love. And the New International Version adds in verse 15, and this is something to think about. You keep on biting and devouring each other. Watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Being in the truth, we especially should have love for the brethren, as it reads in 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth, for a sincere love of the brethren, love one another earnestly from the heart. You have been begotten anew, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. You are all familiar with the golden rule. Do unto others as you wish them to do unto you. Even though these exact words are not in the Bible, so do you. Do so to them. For this is the law and the prophets, and that's taken from Matthew 7:12. But you should use this golden rule as a guide in the things you do for one another. But don't use it as a reason. In other words, don't do good to one another only if you expect them to do good to you in return. Do it only if you do it from your heart with love. I'd like to read a little poem called Help Yourself to Happiness. And it's written by Helen Steiner Rice. Everybody, everywhere seeks happiness, it's true. But finding it and keeping it seems difficult to do. Difficult because we think that happiness is found only in places where wealth and fame abound. And so we go on searching in places of pleasure, seeking recognition and monetary treasure, unaware that happiness is just a state of mind, within the reach of everyone who takes the time to be kind. For in making others happy, we will be happy too. For the happiness you give away returns to shine on you. Another thing we should do for one another is to be forgiving or forbearing of one another as God's chosen ones. This is beautifully put in the scriptures in Colossians 3, 12 through 17. Put on them as God's chosen ones, holy and beloved, compassion, kindness, lowliness, meekness, and patience. And here it says, forbearing one another. And if one has a complaint against the other, forgiving each other. As the Lord has forgiven you, so you also must forgive. And above all these, put on love, which binds everything together in perfect harmony. And let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called into one body. And be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly, as you teach, as you admonish one another in all wisdom, and as you sing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs with thankfulness in your hearts to God. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do everything in the name of Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him. And this should also be done in love, as we are admonished in Ephesians 4, 1 through 3, and 31 and 32.
I therefore, a prisoner of the Lord,
beg you to lead a life worthy of the calling to which you have been called, with all lowliness and meekness, with patience, forbearing one another in love, eager to maintain the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. And in that same chapter, verses 31 and 32, let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and slander be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another as God in Christ forgave you. So if God can forgive us for our sins, surely we can forgive others for their shortcomings. We shall not have to be reminded to love one another, because we have such a great example to follow in our Heavenly Father and His Son Jesus. Everything in the Scriptures and in God's plan of the ages exemplifies love to its highest degree. Without fail, you can count on this love, forgiving and endless. Concerning that endless love, let's read 1 Thessalonians 4:9. But concerning love of the brethren, you have no need to have anyone write to you, for you yourselves have been taught by God to love one another. And this is being taught by example. As we said, this is taught by God, the best teacher of all. And just as His love is endless and true, so should our love for one another be endless and true. As we are all taught by God to love one another and be a servant one to another, we will always do it in harmony with one another. This way you can confess your sins to one another and pray for one another. Paul brings this to our attention in Romans 15, 5 and 6. Always welcome one another. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another in accord with Christ Jesus. And why? That together you may have one voice, glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. So if we're in harmony, we can have one voice. And it adds in verse 7 that we are to always welcome one another at all times. Verse 7 says, welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. And we should welcome each other at all times, even if it may not be convenient at that time to do so. I don't think you'd ever hear God say, wait a minute, I'm busy. He welcomes our coming to Him at our time of need, not His time. And though we are to confess our sins one to another and pray for one another, we are not to pass judgment on one another. It is up to God, and each one of us must give account of himself. Find no fault with one another. And let's read this in Romans 14, 10 through 15. Why do you pass judgment on your brother? Or you, why do you despise your brother? For we shall all stand before the judgment seat of God. For it is written, as I live, says the Lord, every knee shall bow to thee, and every tongue shall give praise to God. So each of us shall give account of himself to God. Then let us no more pass judgment to one another, but rather decide never to put a stumbling block or hindrance in the way of a brother. I know, and I am persuaded in the Lord Jesus, that nothing is unclean in itself, but it is unclean for anyone who thinks it is unclean. If your brother is being injured by what you eat, you are no longer walking in love. So I think that's a valuable lesson for all of us. Instead of passing judgment on one another, we should encourage one another and build one another up in the most holy faith, as it instructs us in 1 Thessalonians 5, 11-22. 1 Thessalonians 5, 11-22. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing. For we beseech you, brethren, to respect those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love because of their work. Be at peace amongst yourselves. And we exhort you, brethren, admonish the idle, encourage the faint-hearted, Help the weak. Be patient with them all. See that none of you repay evil for evil, but always seek to do good for one another and to all. Rejoice always. Pray constantly. Give thanks in all circumstances, for this is the will of God in Christ for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophesying, but test everything. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. So let's build each other up instead of tearing each other down. As it says in that poem, that will shine and come back to you. And as it says in the 15th verse, always seek to do good to one another and to all. This includes those who might not do good to us. See that none of you repays evil with evil. This is an important lesson, and one that is hard for us in these earthen vessels. But this is the will of God. Not my will, but thy will be done. Not only should we do good for one another, but we should also help one another by bearing their burdens. And again, this means for all men. This is brought out in Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Galatians 6, 1 and 2. Brethren, if a man is overtaken in any trespass, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Look to yourself, lest you too be tempted. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. Let's read another beautiful thought from the manna on December the 1st, and that's the scripture is Matthew 2:39, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. You would not want your neighbor to use brain and tongue and evil surmises and slanders against you, and you should not be so to him. The law of the Lord commands that all under his covenant shall take heed not to utter one solitary suspicion against a neighbor, and that if suspicion beyond knowledge be forced upon the mind by circumstances, the new mind shall promptly, with its native benevolence, counterbalance the suspicion by suggestion of the possibility of misinformation or misinterpretation, and always give the apparently guilty the benefit of the doubt. Now let's spend a little time looking at some of the things we should not do to one another, as we are reminded in the scriptures. And of course, if it admonishes us to do something that would be wrong to one another, it means we should do the opposite, which is that which is right. An example is where it speaks to us in the scriptures, do not lie to one another. What's that mean then? Of course that means we should always speak the truth to one another. This is in Colossians 3, 9. In this same context, let's read Colossians 3, 1 through 9, which tells us what things to seek and what things we should put to death. Colossians 3, 1 through 9. If then you have been raised with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things that are above, not on things that are on this earth. For you have died, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, appears, then you also will appear with him in glory. Put to death, therefore, what is earthly in you, such things as immorality, impurity, passion, evil, covetousness, which is idolatry. On account of these, the wrath of God is coming. In these you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away, anger, wrath, malice, slander, and foul talk with your mouth. And here's the 9th verse. Do not lie to one another, seeing that you have put off the old nature with its practices. Many of the things we are not to do are written in Leviticus, where God is giving instructions to Moses to pass on to the congregation of the people of Israel. Let's read Leviticus 19, 1 to 2, and then 9 to 18. Leviticus 19, 1 and 2 kind of sets the stage. And the Lord said to Moses, say to all the congregation of the people of Israel, you shall be holy, for I, the Lord your God, am holy. And then some of the things in the 9th through the 18th verses. When you reap the harvest of your land, you shall not reap your field to its every border, neither shall you gather the gleanings after your harvest. And you shall not strip your vineyard there, neither shall you gather the fallen grapes of your vineyard. You shall leave them for the poor and for the sojourner. I am the Lord your God. And then we'll go through quite a few things it says not to do. You shall not steal, nor deal falsely, nor lie to one another. And you shall not swear by my name falsely, and so profane the name of your Lord. I am the Lord. You shall not oppress your neighbor to rob or rob him. The wages of a hired servant shall not remain with you all night until the morning. You shall not curse the deaf or put a stumbling block before the blind. But you shall fear your God. I am the Lord. You shall not do injustice in judgment. You shall not be partial to the poor or defer to the great. But in righteousness shall you judge your neighbor. You shall not go up and down as a slanderer among your people. And you shall not stand forth against the life of your neighbor. I am the Lord. You shall not hate your brother in your heart, but you shall reason with your neighbor, lest you bear sin because of him. You shall not take vengeance or bear any grudge against the sons of your own people, but you shall love your neighbor as yourself. I am the Lord. Let's recap some of these things that we should not do for one another. I'm going to give you the counter to it, too. We shall not steal, but what should you do? Protect others' property. You shall not deal falsely, but what should you do? Treat everyone fairly. Again, you shall not lie, but you speak the truth. You shall not oppress anyone, but give them their freedom. You shall not curse the deaf, knowing that they cannot hear. Or you shall not stumble the blind, knowing they cannot see. You shall not do injustice, but judge with righteousness. You shall not slander, but you should speak no evil. You shall not hate, but of course you should love. You shall not take vengeance, but be sure and forgive. You shall not bear a grudge, but again, forgive. In all, love your neighbor as yourself. And there's some more in Leviticus that God said to Moses on Mount Sinai. In Leviticus 25, 1-2, and 13-17. And this is about dealing with one another, or not to wrong one another. Leviticus 25, and again, 1 and 2 sets the stage. The Lord said to Moses on Mount Sinai, say to the people of Israel, when you come into the land which I have given you, the land shall keep a Sabbath to the Lord. And in verses 13-17. In this year of Jubilee, each of you shall return to his property. And if you sell to your neighbor or buy from your neighbor, you shall not wrong one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, you shall buy from your neighbor, and according to the number of years for crops, he shall sell to you. If the years are many, you shall increase the price. If the years are few, you shall diminish the price. For it is the number of crops that he is selling you. And this is very important, now 17. You shall not wrong one another, but you shall fear your God. For I am the Lord, your God. How much better the current world would be if we all lived up to these instructions. And we do pray for the kingdom that all may live in perfect love, peace, and understanding. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. What a glorious day that will be when all men shall know him, from the least to the greatest. So we should welcome one another for the glory of God, and by the presence of the Holy Spirit, instruct one another in the most holy faith, as he instructs us to do in Romans 15:7-8 and 13-16. Welcome one another, therefore, as Christ has welcomed you for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ became a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs. And 13-16. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit you may abound in hope. I myself am satisfied about you, my brethren, that you yourselves are full of goodness, filled with all the knowledge and able to instruct one another. But on some points I have written to you very boldly, by way of reminder, because of the grace given me by God, to be a minister of Christ Jesus to the Gentiles in the priestly service of the gospel of God, so that the offering of the Gentiles may be acceptable,
sanctified by the Holy Spirit. Again, that says he should be able to instruct one another in his most holy faith. A lot of the points we have covered today are recapped in the 12th chapter of Romans. It can appear to us by Paul to do what is good and acceptable and perfect. This is the will of God. Let's briefly look through Romans 12. I'm going to kind of read the whole chapter. We won't spend a lot of time on it, but I think you can pick out the things that are important for you to do. The 12th chapter of Romans. I appeal to you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable to God, which is your spiritual worship. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewal of your mind, that you may prove what is the will of God, what is good and acceptable and perfect. For by the grace given to me, I bid everyone among you not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith which God has assigned him. For as in one body we have many members, and all the members do not have the same function, so we, though many, are one body in Christ, and individually members of one another. That's an important statement there. Individually members one of another. Having gifts that differ according to the grace given to us, let us use them. If prophecy, in proportion to our faith, if service, in our serving, he who teaches, in his teaching, he who exhorts, in his exhortation, he who contributes, in liberality, he who gives aid, with zeal, and he who does acts of mercy, with cheerfulness. Let love be genuine, hate what is evil, hold fast to that which is good. Love one another with brotherly affection. Outdo one another in showing honor. Never flag in zeal, be aglow with the Spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in your hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer. Contribute to the needs of the saints, practice hospitality. There's another thing you can do for one another, practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse them. Rejoice with those who rejoice, but weep with those who weep. And another one, live in harmony with one another. Do not be haughty, but associate with the lowly, never be conceited. Repay no one evil for evil, but take thought for what is noble in the sight of all. If possible, so far as it depends upon you, live peaceably with all. Beloved, never avenge yourself, but leave that to the wrath of God, for it is written, vengeance is mine, I will repay, says the Lord. Know if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him drink. For by doing so, you will help keep burning coals upon his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. That's really says a lot in that chapter, if you read it, if you think about it. And as it says in 1 Corinthians 12:25-26, that there be no discord in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer. If one member is honored, all rejoice together. And that's 1 Corinthians 12:25-26. It's very important. The members that may have the same care for one another. Doing good for one another should be a continuous process. Not when we do as we feel compelled to do it. Do it, but do it with love and sincerity. Make it a habit in your life. Don't wait for special opportunities to arise, but make it such a part of your life that you will do it automatically. You make the opportunity. Your desire to do good to all men, especially the household of faith, not just today, not just yesterday, not just tomorrow, but always. Don't grow weary. Put on the whole armor of God. I think Galatians 6:7-10 says it very well. Galatians 6:7-10. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever a man sows, that he will also reap. For he who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But he who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary in our well-doing, but in due season we shall reap if we do not lose heart. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men, and especially to those who are of the household of faith. Let's close with our text scripture, which is the new commandment given to us by Jesus in John 13, 34, and 35. A new commandment I give to you, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this, all men will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another. May the Lord bless you and keep you. May he make his face to shine upon you and give you peace and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance to you and give you peace. May the Lord add his blessing.
Thank you, Alan. That's very good. I think we can live up to all the thoughts that are given here to all of you there, servant.
Our kind and gracious Heavenly Father, hallowed be thy most precious name. We are so thankful to you for this opportunity we've had to gather together and study a little bit more of thy word. We thank you for thy precious word, for thy great and precious promises for the whole world of mankind. And we pray that we may be of help to thee in this troubled world, that we may shed forth thy light in this troubled world and do give love one to another. Guide and direct us as we strive to serve thee. Forgive us when we fall short, and lead us in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. And we ask you to be with our loved ones wherever they are this day, and you keep them in thy loving care, and if it be thy will, draw them close to thee. And be with all those that are striving to be kind and loving to one another, wherever they may be. We leave ourselves in thy care and keeping, asking others that thy will be done, and we pray for thy kingdom, when all mankind may live in peace and love and understanding. We leave ourselves in thy care and keeping, asking thy will be done. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.